So, give you the story about the UFO sighting and the film documentary that we did at the Milwaukee airport. You want to tell us what happened, Mark?
What we were doing was we were making a film for another purpose at the airport, and
I'll put that up.
at the airport, we were filming at the airport, and it was on a digital camera, and we had five people there, and two of them were camera people, two different cameras. The camera that I was directing was the one that was pointed to the southeast, and the other camera was pointed to the west to capture an actress that was approaching the actor in the scene. Well, make a long story short, we did our shooting for the day. It was on September 15th at 1:30 in the afternoon, bright sunny day, almost cloudless as far as I can recall now. But that being said, anyway, we shot our stuff, and I took it home and started to edit the material on the computer. And when we first edited it, I looked for continuity, things in the picture that we don't want there, so that we can decide whether we're going to reshoot again. So we went through and did that. And did that about, I'm going to say, well, maybe 12 times before I actually looked at the picture for other things. In other words, looking for the grossly out of place stuff first, and then gradually refining the review of the video, that scene, for smaller things that shouldn't be there. Like, for example, we didn't want any airplanes flying past in the picture. We had one person in particular watching for the approach of aircraft, because where we shot at the viewing area off of Layton Avenue at the airport, planes taxi up there, and we didn't want those in, and we didn't want planes landing or taking off in the picture for that particular scene.
So you're gonna stop right here. You had somebody watching for airplanes
Oh yeah,
coming
we didn't
out,
want any planes in there, no.
and you still didn't see it.
No, nobody saw it.
Okay, because that had exactly happened the same way with us in Texas.
Yeah, and
we watched and
we
nothing.
And the thing is this digital camera, so that made a significant difference. Because first of all, the field of depth of sharpness in it, which is why it was used, is almost from the lens of the camera, which really isn't exactly true, but relatively speaking, more so than a film camera, the depth of field is significantly greater with a digital camera. So, well, that being said, while editing the video and getting to maybe the 15th review of it, I noticed this thing streak across the screen. I thought it was a piece of paper at first, then I thought it was a bird flying across. Because it went past so fast, watching it real time, you can't really see it. It's just a streak. So I thought, well, what's that? So I thought, well, how are we going to get this out? Or is it a problem? Or do we have to reshoot? Or all those things that would be involved with that. Well, I slowed it down. I slowed down that portion of the video, and in reviewing it, I noticed that in the background, prior or actually after that scene, there is a refueling plane landing at the far end of the airport, and you can clearly see that just traversing through the picture. It takes forever to go through the field of view, and you can clearly see what it is. There's no two ways about it. It's an airplane. Well, then I get the tape back, rewind the tape some more, step by frame by frame by frame, and on five frames in approximately 1 second, that object appeared. It appears in the upper left-hand corner, and then it appears again, and then it appears again. Unlike an airplane, where it would appear through all the frames and go right through the picture. I mean, it would be one continuous event. This is a popped event. It seems it's almost like it's popping into view, popping out of view, popping into view, popping out of view. That's really not what happened. It just went too fast, and the shutter on the camera wasn't set to capture a continuous run of an object moving at that speed. There was no intention to ever get anything like that. So that's why it appears the way it appears on the screen. It's just moving so fast, it was only captured five times in that 1 second, as opposed to an aircraft, which had been captured maybe 100 times in that second, where it would have been continuous. So when I slowed it down, I realized that it wasn't, well, I had a hard time finding wings on it. And I thought, well, it's got to be a bird. Because birds can do funny things. You can, when you shoot them, they've had that happen before where they appear in pictures. But there were problems with it, because it was on the other side, significantly farther away from the actor. So if it was a bird, it had to be a bird the size of an airplane. When I thought, well, maybe it's an airplane that's blurred, because at one point I thought I could detect a wing on it. But then I started looking at it more and realized that it can't be an airplane, because how airplanes just don't move at that speed near the ground. I mean, this thing, at its low end of the picture, unfortunately, if I would have had the camera on wide angle, I could have seen where it appeared to be landing. But because it was coming down at about a 28-degree angle, a classic approach to the airport, maybe 30-degree angle. But it goes out of frame, but it gets bigger and bigger as it approaches the right side of the picture. In fact, there's a half of image of it in the picture, and there's no tail on it. You can just see it's a sort of a, it would almost, if you had to describe a football, that's kind of what it looks like in the half of it in the final frame that appears. Anyway, that being said, that's really what the long and the short of it was. So after seeing that and reviewing it numerous times, I took it to some people I know that are involved at the airport and did it rather clandestinely because I wasn't sure what I had. I mean, my first impression was is that it was just an unusual plane landing at the airport. I mean, I had no UFO or that kind of a thing never entered my mind. I'm thinking I've got just some sort of unusual jet, maybe one of these remote control things that the government fools around with. And I thought, well, maybe they're landing in at Mitchell Field. Who knows? Why not? You know, I mean, why, that's as possible as anything else. Well, the person looking at the picture said, well, you know, I mean, if it is, it's just going too fast. I mean, it appears going, I mean, it's hard to calculate, but that's the neat thing about it. There are measurements that can be made in the picture. You can see the parking structure. You can see the fence. You can see a service road in the picture. You can see a light post. And all these are known heights, plus we know the height of the camera off the tripod. We know how high that was off the ground. We know where the center line of the camera was. So we know where all that was. So we started coming up with measurements. And we're getting clock speeds on this thing of somewhere between 8,000 and 9,000 miles an hour at 100 feet over the ground. And well, this doesn't make a lot of sense. Well, the one that I showed him, the video that I showed him, had the sound deleted. It was the audio modified track where we had dubbed in music and that kind of thing for the scene. So I went back and listened to the real raw audio, because I had never listened to the raw audio before. I was only interested in the visuals in this picture because this was just strictly going to be a music scene for background. There wasn't going to be in a setting scene. There wasn't going to be any dialogue there initially. Well, when I played back the video, you could hear the wind pick up, and at the end of the scene, when the actual take is over, but the camera keeps running, there's an enormous gust of wind that strikes the microphone and overrides the wind dampening feature on the microphones that we were using. And then that goes away. Now that occurs right at, the object goes out of sight, and then there's this whoosh of wind. And you can kind of hear it building in the scene when the thing is running. You can hear this gust of wind coming up because there was no wind to speak of, but we were prepared for that. And then this gust of wind comes up, and then it gets louder, and then it goes away. Almost goes away. I mean, you know, you can hear rustling in the background. But the point is that it in a way, it ties in with the picture. It seems like there was some sort of rush of wind involved with this thing. Whether there was or there wasn't, I couldn't say for sure. But it appears to be that way. So that's that. Well, I showed the video to the picture, the imagery, to a number of individuals, and they all agree that it's not an airplane. There's no way that's an airplane. It's impossible. It's going too fast. It can't be. Plus, in one scene where the thing, you can actually see the sun, and you can see that it was roughly at 1:30 in the afternoon. You can see the sun glisten off a highlight on there's some sort of a superstructure on the thing, whatever. Well, I don't want to say it's a dome, but there's some sort of upper structure above the base of the thing that was reflecting light. I mean, the thing, for all intents and purposes, metallic with an infinitely black ellipse in the center of it. I mean, where that came from, it's not a shadow, because shadows wouldn't be that black. Shadows would be gray. This is black. There's zero light coming out of that portion of the object. So whatever caused that is beyond anybody's, I mean, I have no clue. But above that, you can see the sun reflecting off some sort of superstructure. It must be round because the reflection is elliptical. It's the same kind of reflection you get if you had a crystal ball, or if you had one of these spheres that people used to have out in their yards with, you know, the seals are holding up. You can see how the light is bent around that from the sun. It's classic reflection off the sun. So you can draw an angle by calculating where the sun angle was in the sky off of that, and draw a line from the sun through that reflection, draw a line to the ground, and you get a shadow on the ground. You get an image on the ground where this thing is blocking out the sun. I mean, it's a slight graying image, but you can see it. There's a mark, a grayish mark on the field, Which is another thing. There's no runway where this came down. There's a service road, but there's no runway. There's a runway that runs for smaller aircraft that runs towards, I think that's Skylink or whatever that Midwest smaller airline is. It runs towards that, but that's not on the angle where this thing came in. This thing came in almost near the refueling, signature refueling or services at the airport, closer to that than it did on a runway, running on an angle from, I'm going to say, from the southeast to the, that would be to the northwest, is kind of how its angle of approach was. Or its approach, its angle of approach is about 30 degrees, 20, 30 degrees, somewhere in there. So that being said, we looked at that, and looked at it over and over and over and over again, just trying to figure out what that was. And with each time we looked at it, becoming more and more convinced that it wasn't an airplane. But then what was it? Well, then we thought, well, if it's on there, let's just, for the heck of it, let's just go and look. We had a shot that was a setting shot that we did not use and I had not looked at, which was of the parking structure, which was immediately to the west of where that scene was. Well, that was to set the scene. That was just going to be a zoom scene to the structure to show the tower with the radar turning on top of the tower. We may or may not have used it. Turns out we didn't use it, but you can see in that picture, there's an object flying. It's like buzzing the parking structure. It flies at an incredible rate of speed from the west to the east. It's like something landed. And now this is a completely different area of the airport. This is not where this thing landed. The first scene, this was probably maybe a tops quarter mile from me. The other part of this was about, I'm going to say, a half a mile. And then, of course, it had altitude. You could see, I don't know how far south of the airport it was, but the fact of the matter is aircraft, in further investigation with people at the airport, are not allowed to fly buzzing the airport or buzzing that runway. You don't do that unless you have a flyover where they would be, somebody at the airport is checking an aircraft to see if their landing gear is down or not for an emergency. Well, the thing is with this is that this is going too fast. If somebody was standing there trying to look at landing gear, they wouldn't have even seen the plane if that was a plane. So that being said, you can see it just shoots through the picture from west to east. In the frame, if you slow it down, it momentarily slows down for maybe a tenth of a second, and then it takes off again. So you can see where it shoots in, sort of slows down, and then shoots off again. Then, after the camera zooms past that shot, you see a picture, an imagery of the tower, and just immediately left of the tower, you see a blip going on. Something flashes through the picture. It blips in and blips out. And it's the same shape as the original footage, but the camera's on telephoto, and the focus was meant to be out of focus, so it's hard to tell what it was. But it's not an aircraft because they don't fly over the runway. They're either landing or taking off. They do not buzz the runway. That doesn't happen. It's not allowed at the airport unless there was an air show or something, which there wasn't. So that's the long and the short of it. One of the thoughts about it was is that there's two considerations from the people that looked at this, and some of these people that looked at it are aviation people from the airport, and I'm not going to mention who they are, but they are. If you believe it or you don't want to believe it, but this has been burning on me because the more you look at it, the more bizarre it is. So I wanted to get information. So that being said, in reviewing this, we discovered that this object appears, or objects appear numerous times, but more like blips. Well, they are blips. It was moving even faster, and other times going back and forth. It went from the west to the east and the east to the west. And what was I going to say? There was, and it was captured by accident. And somebody said to me is that it was either captured by accident or it wanted to be seen. Yeah. But the thing is that if you were looking at it, if you stood there in that parking lot for a year and tried to see that, you would not see it. There's no way you could see it with your eye.
And you see, that happened with Brad and me. Mm-hmm. I've had numerous people say that they're looking at the sky, nothing. They're shooting a picture, using their digital. They're going through their digital pictures. There it is.
Yeah, and it could even happen on a still camera if it, it'd be more of a luck thing on a still camera, whether it's digital or film. Film would be better because the resolution is better on film than digital. But that being said, it would have to be just sheer luck. You would have to be just pointed in the right place at the right time to get that kind of a shot. Or the other side of it is, if that's happening, and it isn't done intentionally, then they're flying around a lot more than we think they are. And what is this? It adds a whole new meaning to Milwaukee International Airport.
I think they are.
I mean,
Mexico's got the same problems down there with their
airport. Yeah. I mean, there's without a question, there's something extraordinary going on. My impression to this moment is that I think, and I have no reason not to believe it because I haven't ever seen anything in my, and I'm one of those, I've got to see it to believe it. I'm from Missouri, you got to show me. And I would never have believed in a million years that I would have ever gotten a shot like this. Quite the skeptic. But not skeptical to the point where I would say that there's not somebody else out there. I wouldn't say that. But what I would say is that I wouldn't believe something until I saw it or somebody that I really trusted saw something, you know, where I would actually believe it. Now here I go, and I have this picture, this video, more than one time on top of it. It isn't just one time. It's in the space, that all happened in a space of 45 minutes. From the time we stopped shooting at 1:30 and just moved the camera over and started shooting in another direction, that was no more than 45 minutes. So either it's a regular event or something was captured accidentally, which is really got to be the case, or somebody wanted to be captured. Now, I say that because, you know, if it's something other than Uncle Sam and a new toy, or an old toy in this case, then...
They wouldn't want to have been captured.
Well, that's it. Now, the thing is that prior to the first shot, what happened was we had been doing practice shots where we didn't run any tape in the cameras. What we did was we turned the cameras on and we were framing out the scenes, how we wanted people to walk and what we wanted them to do. Well, a sheriff came by, a county sheriff came by, and came in a lot and said, now I gotta just have to remember this, something to the effect of, say folks, what's going on here? And one of the guys from the crew talked to him, and then I went over and talked to him. I said, well, we're making a film for a local project in Milwaukee. And he said, oh, well, he says, just in case someone wonders, you know. And so, I mean, that I could be making that into more than it is. I mean, it may have been nothing, but when you reflect on something like that, you start thinking about all the things that happened, you know, prior to, during, and after the event. You know, was somebody watching us, saw us there with a camera, and was some event not going to get done because we were there taking pictures, or did they think we were doing, you know, was it something to do with 9/11, or, you know, anything could go through your mind on that. But nobody there saw the object. We were watching, in the first scenario, we were watching because we didn't want anything in the picture that would interfere with the actors for the scene set. So nobody saw anything. There were two people specifically watching for aircraft to warn us when we were shooting, because we're not looking for planes. We're looking through the camera. We don't see anything other than what, and that's another thing. When we're looking through the lens of the camera, we didn't see anything either. The two of us saw anything. Zero. Well, I wasn't really looking through the camera. There was a cameraman, and then I was directing the actor, and then I knew what the scene looked like through the camera. So then when I was looking without the camera, I can visualize what the camera's seeing, and then I'm trying to adjust everybody in the scene. So, you know, I mean, it's just an extraordinary thing. Now, the image is, the one that you have is on is an MPEG, and there's an AVI that was captured off the tape. Those are... quality of those could be a little bit better. I mean, when you see it on the tape, it's significantly better. If I run it on VHS, the resolution on a TV is so poor that you can't really tell anything. You really got to run it on a computer at 600 by 800 or higher resolution where you can really see it. And then if you run it on the digital tape, of course, it's significantly better, you know. But it just turned out to be quite an extraordinary thing. And I since that time, I have talked to numbers of people. And they all agree that it's not an airplane. They all agree it's not a bird. And they all agree it's not a bee. And the thing was, is that knowing that, I'm getting the response that I kind of anticipated, which was, you know, somebody might say, well, you really thought it was what it was. And I said, well, no. When I first put information about it on the internet, because it was burning curiosity, I had to know what this was. You know, I wanted to know, did I just get a picture of one of Uncle Sam's toys, a la the stealth kind of a thing? I got the response that I expected. People had made comments about it that I would question when somebody said, without even seeing the picture, said, wow, it's an airplane. Never saw the picture and said it was an airplane.
Yeah.
Now, if somebody does that to me in my business and they make that kind of an assumption without getting all the facts, I would probably fire them.
Yeah.
It's bad. They're not getting all the details. They're not getting all the information. And then when I showed a picture, another person said, well, it's an airplane. Well, you know, All right, well, that's what I expected. You know, they didn't ask the big question that I wanted. I wanted them to say, well, you said this was part of a video, though, and this is only one frame. I want to see the rest of the frames. Well, see, now then that would tell me that person knows what they're talking about, or at least they have some. They're being inquisitive. Because, and the reason I say that is because other people told me there's people I just would like to go out and discredit this stuff. So, which is one of the reasons I have no intention, I never went to the media with it, because that would be a complete waste of time. I mean, what good would that do? What would that accomplish? Somebody said, well, why don't you give the tapes away? And I said, the videos away. I said, well, I'm not going to do that. I took the pictures and it cost this money. If somebody wants them, they can pay for them, mm-hmm. Period. I could care less about whether it's got anything to do with science. There's thousands of pictures like this out there. This is just another one that happens to be a little better than others because of where it occurred. Mm-hmm. So if somebody wants it, they can pay for it, you know. I mean, that's business. And I'm not detracting anything from anybody on that. Those are pictures that were taken, and they're proprietary, and that's the end of that story. So, you know, but the thing is that at the same time, I want to know what it is. So since that September 15th, 2002 date, I mean, I've talked to just endless numbers of people. And nobody knows what it is. You know, I've heard everything from better be careful for, I don't know why, because it's just a picture. It's no different than some of the other ones I've seen are even better than this. But the thing that makes this good is no one saw it. It showed up. You had to have a digital camera to get that picture, or at least you had to have something that with a shutter speed that ran at that speed.
You can emphasize that your knowledge of how film works.
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I've always been in science. I was building rockets when I was 8 years old. I mean, what I was doing when I was 8 years old, if I was 8 years old and did that today, it'd be considered a felony. You know, I used to buy chemicals through the mail, and I'd build rockets, and I'd buy these Estes rocket kits. Mm-hmm. I was building rockets all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, we built some major rockets. Never had any explosions because we static tested them. I had an instructor in high school that knew about rockets a little bit, and we went through did the scientific method and procedures when we built them. So we static test them, got away from them. We had electric firing mechanisms on them, so they're all solid fuel, of course. Zinc and sulfur, as a matter of fact, is what we primarily use, because that's real tough to explode there.
Yeah.
Sugar and saltpeter or potassium nitrate, that was a little too dangerous. Mm-hmm. So you had to cook that.
That's kind of like gunpowder.
Well, it is gunpowder. It is gunpowder. And it's just, but the thing is, you have to heat it with sugar. And that's, you got to be careful, because those things can blow up. But we didn't care, we were kids, and so we just were interested in building rockets, so what do we care? And we never had an explosion. But that being said, so we got to have a familiarity with that. I mean, it's toy rockets, but I mean, I watched NASA, I know as much about it as anybody else does, and I mean, I know what liquid fuel engines are, and I know what liquid oxygen is, and liquid hydrogen is, and, you know, and alcohol, and how all the rockets work by and large. I mean, general knowledge. So you have that background, and I have a technical background on top of it. And when you see something like this, you know, inquiring minds want to know. I'm still looking for answers. I've subsequently gone back to the airport and filmed from that position.
But you really do have the answer.
Well, I went back to that position and filmed, and all I got was airplanes landing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they look like airplanes. And I even set the focus the same way. I did everything I could, and I got stopped twice, and then I couldn't go back there again because they didn't want me filming at the airport.
I think what we want to do, UFOs, but for people that have actually seen UFOs like you, we know what they are. But what we want to do is have somebody disprove it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
and we can't find anyone that could...
Yeah.
But we can't find anyone that can
disprove
it.
I'll tell you the truth is that I'm not convinced that that's any kind of an alien craft. I mean, as much as some people may want to, you know, hold on, as much as some people might want to believe that, from my position, I'm looking at technology and understanding a certain amount about what quantum physics is, and understanding about, dual realities and how observed events can actually change an event at the quantum level, kind of a thing, to give you some idea what I'm aware of. You know, with all that being said, there's nothing to tell me that somewhere along the line, somebody on the planet, somewhere, you know, developed something like that, and it's a big secret. There's no reason to believe that that didn't happen. I can believe that as much as I can believe that they're... these things are from some other planet. Or another dimension. I mean, it's more, in fact, probably more likely from another dimension than from another planet, just because of the distances. But Then the problem with that is that when you get into quantum physics, it's a fact that an observed event at one location instantaneously can affect event thousands of miles away.
Right.
So, you know, just because our science today doesn't allow for that, you know, the infamous nothing goes faster than light kind of thing, which is being proven, I think, on the borderline of being proven erroneous. In the case of quantum physics, where you have these dual events occurring, where an observed event actually changes the event, and it also causes an observed event to occur exactly the same way, 1,000 miles away, instantly, it tells you there's something else going on. There's no question about it. It tells you that there's more to the world than meets the eye, you know. And for me, it gives me more of a feeling that you know, we are small, and that we are, you know, we are maybe even unique, but we're unique because we're not as informed as apparently some other people are. You know, I mean, there's no two ways about it. The world appears to be extraordinarily complicated and more exotic than I think anybody even could have in their wildest dreams could even imagine. And I think that adds, seeing an event like this, indirectly, of course, because I saw it on videotape, but I shot it, tells me that there's something odd going on, and whether it's some extraterrestrial event or it's Uncle Sam, I don't know, and I have never seen any proof, you know, like I said, I'm from Missouri, show me, that it's one way or the other. But just thinking about it, some people say, well, the government can't keep secrets. Well, they sure as heck can keep secrets.
Well, Area 51 is one.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's...
Montauk is another.
And I don't have a problem with Uncle Sam and Uncle Sam keeping secrets. I have no problem with that. They got to do what they have to do. I mean, it's part of the protection of the United States. And if that's what they're doing, then that's fine with me. It doesn't bother me one bit. But having said that, when you get a glimpse of something that may or may not be have something to do with Uncle Sam, I'm just hypothetical. Then, you know, and then you start asking questions, and then Uncle Sam starts looking stupid because so many people are apparently seeing something. They're not making it up. There are rational people seeing things. There are aviation people seeing things. There are policemen seeing things that are, you know, I mean, these are regular people. They're not going out to do this because they have some agenda. You know, something extraordinary happened. And to believe that it's not happening is really the tragedy, because there is something going on. But whether it's, you know, an alien event or some bizarre local experiment, that's anybody's guess. I don't think there's any evidence one way or the other. I mean, people can talk about, like you said, Area 51, and, you know, and the and these different things where the astronauts have seen things, but the thing is pictures are pictures, and you need something a little bit more tangible than that. Like, I don't even, what I have is a picture, but it doesn't really tell me what it is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it doesn't, realistically, it doesn't tell me anything other than something was going, you know, 5,000 miles an hour, hypothetically, 100 feet above the ground, and the only airplanes I know that do that are crashing. And they don't go that fast that time.
Well, you know, that's good that you look at it like that way, because that way you're not boxed in. And you're right. We shouldn't just look at that it's a UFO. We should see what is it. And then look at all the possibilities.
Well, you know, I like to think of Copernicus. When Copernicus tried to explain that the planets went around the sun, you know, that was... He got in big trouble for that during his time. Because
right.
That was... I mean, it was a real religious thing, and people were confined to this religious concept, which is good. I mean, religion is a good thing. But it was getting tied up with science. And, you know, is science really religion, and is religion science? I mean, it's... So the thing is Copernicus had a hard time trying to explain to people that the planets went around the sun. But, you know, I had one instructor talk to me about this, and he said, well, you know what it could be? He says, it could be just perspective, something that we aren't aware of yet. And I said, what? And he said, well, and this happened to be a professor of physics that I won't get into any more than that, but the long and the short of it is, he said, everything is moving in the universe. The Earth is going around the sun at some 60,000 miles an hour. The sun is carrying the solar system through the universe at some 500,000 miles an hour. And the galaxy is carrying our solar system through space at some million miles an hour. So there are incredible movements going on. Imagine if somebody somewhere, either here or somewhere else or some other dimension or whatever, came up with a way to actually stop in relationship to everything else. So that's what this professor told me. He says it would be like the opposite of the train station effect. Instead of, let's say you were born on a train, and you lived on a train all your life, and all you ever knew was a train, and you could, and one day somebody opened up the window, a window on the train, and you looked out that window, you would see everybody flying past you at a phenomenal rate of speed, and they disappear. Now, your perspective is that you're standing still, and everybody else is moving. The reality is, they're standing still, and you're moving.
Right.
Now, if you add to that somebody throwing a baseball outside of the train, imagine the bizarre angles that ball travels at, because you're on the train. It makes all kinds of, it could make a left, right angle turn. It can make all kinds of bizarre turns. So project that to the case we're sitting on the Earth that's rotating at roughly, 50 miles an hour or something like that, or 100 miles an hour, I forgot what the numbers are. And that's just the rotation of the Earth. Add to that the movement of the Earth around the sun. Add to that the sun be pulling us through the solar system and blah, 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 blah. And then imagine a ball in front of you that suddenly stops in relationship to everything else. That thing takes off in excess of 500,000 miles an hour, at minimum. Just imagine that. And that, if there was somebody on that wouldn't be such a big deal. Of course, their stopping would be, but if they stopped gradually, to us it would look like they were slowing down, like coming to a stop. But to them, if they slow down gradually, they'd just be slowing down. But our perspective is, boy, what this thing is doing. How can it do that? Well, it's doing it because we don't know how it does it. And so, it's just another way of looking at it. There may be somebody that has a technology that can do this, and whether it's of this earth or not is anybody's guess, and that's where I have to stand on it, because what do I know? I can only use my limited knowledge of, how to open a box of cornflakes and run a can opener efficiently
Well, that's what Einstein says, too. Everything's happening in the now, the past, present, future. And if you, like you said, if you speed things up, it'll disappear out of our sight at a certain point.
If it stops, you actually wouldn't have to speed up. You actually slow down. If something stopped, if, for example, I was sitting on a chair that I could somehow not allow gravity to affect it, because gravity, after all, is what's keeping us where we are right now. If that means that I am no longer attracted to the Earth, the Sun, the Moon, or any of the planets, that means I go flying off, because everything else flies out from underneath me. I'm actually slowing down, and everything else is speeding up because it no longer attracts me.
Well, that's what they say about the UFOs, that they're using anti-gravity.
Got to be something like that. It has to be something like that. Something along those lines. I had a pilot tell me.
And when we're talking UFOs, we're talking about unidentified flying objects here.
Yeah. And I had a pilot tell me that they clocked one over Texas years ago, and they actually got a pulse out of it. They actually registered a 60 hertz pulse out of it, like a hum that you get out of an AC line current. When you hear a hum on your amplifier or something, that 60 cycle pulse or 50 cycle pulse that you get. Well, they actually got a pulse reading off one of those things. So they know that there's something going on there. What it is anybody's guess. Did the government come up with something? The government was working on so many projects during World War II to end World War II, justifiably so, and maybe they ran across something else. Maybe the bomb wasn't the only thing they ran across. When you think about it, the explosion of a nuclear, and I hate to jump around here like this, but I have a limited amount of time. The explosion of a nuclear bomb is a result of a focused, high-energy charge to compress matter to cause an explosion. Well, what if you slowed that process down and you only let it go so far just to get that energy rather than causing an explosion? What do you end up with? See?
Yeah.
What if they figured out a way to do that? Yeah. So, the idea that, they used because the only way that could be done, at least as far as I know, I'm not a physicist, but a high explosive charge had to be used to focus, to compress this matter to get the end result that they needed to make the bomb to end the war, yada, yada, yada. The thing is that what if, thinking about that, and I don't know the physics of it, but maybe somewhere along the line they found a way to do that slowly, to gradually release that horrendous amount of energy. Imagine how much energy that would be.
Yeah.
You think about the kind of energy that's coming out of that in today's terms, in terms of the size of the weapons that are used. They're not, the original ones are the size of Volkswagen Beetles, You know, now, I mean, of course, they're, you know, they're talking about briefcase and all that kind of thing. Well, imagine having a technology to make something like that, that does that, that's the size of a tape recorder, you know, a small tape recorder or a microwave oven. You know, I mean, anything's possible. You can dream it, it's probably can be done, you know, and that's the neat thing about the way the world is. But so it's not it's only a mystery because we don't know how it works. But I mean, it's to somebody knows somewhere, and it's just a question of time. And so maybe something like that was discovered in the 100 or so projects that were going on during that period of time or prior to that by somebody else, who knows?
Well, from what I understand, even Hitler had come across a crashed UFO, and they did reverse engineering on it.
Well, I've heard that stuff, but I don't know. I mean, I guess, from my standpoint, that's speculation. I don't know. I don't know that such a thing would be true.
We also have Roswell.
Yeah.
And then there's been various different places. I even know a person that worked through Project Pounce, where he actually worked with the government recovering downed UFOs, and then they were reverse engineering.
I almost wonder if there were aliens, if they're benign, then are they getting shot down, or is their technology that bad where they're crashing? Because those are that's a significant number of crashes we're talking about.
Well, I heard that. Now, this is just something I've heard, but that they had discovered that pulse that you're talking about, and because of it, they were able to do something with the gravity field.
Yeah.
And because of that, it would drop them.
Yeah. I suppose, like I said, anything's possible. But if anything was gotten, Uncle Sam, if it was something that that they acquired, maybe the government shot it down. You know, I don't know that they would be crashing like that, because I know even at our level, we really don't like to have our space shuttle and Mars missions crashing into Mars and exploding. It's not real popular, and it takes quite a toll on humans, needless to say. So, personally have a problem with that kind of stuff, but it could be true. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it could be true. It could be true, but to me, it's more likely that if it was the case that something was shot down or it was trying to avoid a collision and an error was made or it got involved in an electrical storm of some kind that caused it some problems.
Well, there's probably quite a few possibilities of how they went down.
Yeah, anything's possible, you know, but as far as my thing goes, as far as what I have videotaped and what we saw by virtue of the videotape, it certainly does say at the end of the day that there's something extraordinary going on. There's no two ways about it. To say there isn't, I think somebody would have to have, excuse my French, rocks in their head.
Yeah.
Because it's not an airplane, it's not a bird, it's not a bee, and it's something, and it's a physical thing. Whether it's a physical thing from Uncle Sam, or a physical thing from another dimension, or a physical thing from another planet, is anybody's guess. I don't think there might be somebody that knows on the planet, but they aren't talking, and maybe for good reason.
Yeah.
You know. So, what can I say? It's technology will change, and I think that the day is coming when we'll live with new technology. There has always been technology. There will always be technology unless people blow themselves up. But there has always been technology, and technology has always grown.
Well, the thing is, 1,000 years from now, we're going to look back at this time as the Stone Age.
Yeah,
that
I mean,
we were very, very primitive.
Hydrogen-powered cars. I mean, probably the only reason we really don't have hydrogen-powered cars today is because the average person, it has a whole new meaning to don't smoke near the gas tank. You know, if you have a hydrogen fuel, you can't be too casual with it. You could have some real issues there. But I mean, I'm sure the technology in the future is going to be, we won't, you know, recognize it for what it is, significantly into the future, and that's to be expected. There's no reason not to expect it.
Well, I mean, look at what we've done with fiber optics.
Well, sure.
There's a good example right there. You know, I mean, it's just opened up a whole new world to us. Computers,
Oh, sure.
Telephone, television, cellular phones.
Sure.
I mean, 200 years ago, somebody said that we're talking about the internet or cellular phones or something like that. Who would have believed them?
Well, VHS,
I mean, we wouldn't have been able to even visualize it, you know.
VHS in 1960, you know, cellular phone in 1960.
Yeah.
You know, lasers in 1960. I mean, I have a laser in my car that I use for a pointer.
Yeah.
When I give talks, I mean, a device that is so incredibly sophisticated. Years ago, I mean, if I showed up in 1970 with that, or even 1980 with that, somebody would have thought, well, wow, you know, they would have probably thought, well, what a gadget. But 1970, you know, I mean, it would have been quite the big deal, even.
Our toys today.
Yeah. Pointer the size of a cigarette, you know. Yeah. I mean, I can shoot a laser beam and everybody in a room can see it.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it costs $15.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's going to be a future that's unusual, and I think we might even be getting glimpses of it with these events that are occurring. You know, that might be some sort of a hint. There's no reason to believe that couldn't be either. You know?
Yeah, it could be.
What if it's a time machine? I forgot to mention that. What if it really is a time machine? Now they're talking about, some people are talking about the possibility that that are into this thing, that sort of stuff, that it's possible that there's such a thing as time travel. Maybe that's why these things, if they were alien or from another dimension, don't interact with us, or from a future time, because they can't interact with us. All they can be is seen. They can't communicate, because if they did, it's the old, you go back and kill your parents, how were you born kind of a thing. So, you know, maybe there's a danger there. Everything has a danger. Every technology has a danger. Maybe that's
that's a very good point. Very good point.
Maybe that's a danger. I mean, maybe the government even has people coming back from the United States 10,000 years from now and getting us to do things to make corrections that need to be made, that will be corrections without interfering with how things are going to happen in the future, or who knows. You know, it could be extraordinarily complicated, more than we could even ever imagine, you know. And so, but then if you like mysteries, there's a mystery.
Isn't it great, though?
Yeah.
And now you're part of it.
Yeah.
All because you were shooting a commercial.
Yeah.
At the airport in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
A movie.
What was the name of the movie, by the way?
It's called Milwaukee Movie. It hasn't been released. It's shot for the university, and it's being shot. Was being shot with a fellow from Europe, who is trying to organize a project for individuals in different cities to film in their cities and create local movies to enter international film contests, or showings, I should say, not contests. And so, I mean, it's still being edited. We still have things we have to edit. I'd say 80% of the people involved are amateurs,
mm-hmm.
amateur actors and actresses, and people that aspire to using, you know, camera equipment and want to work with film and that can video and all that kind of stuff. So it's sort of a project for people that are just interested in the field. It's a gratis kind of a thing, which is the other thing. I mean, everybody that's involved in that was there when we shot this, all of them could have cared less about seeing a UFO. I mean, we were really focused. Everybody was in a hurry to go somewhere else. We just had to get what we were done, what we were shooting finished, so that we could go on to whatever it is we had to do that day. So,
well, you know, Steven Spielberg had the same problem, or the same dilemma, when he did that movie Jaws. I don't know if you've ever seen that, the UFO in Jaws or
no,
not.
No.
I'd watched it 15 times. I've never noticed it until somebody contacted me and they said to watch it. I don't know. I think that it shows up on all the all the movies, but I got the unedited version. But there's a segment, they're all at sea, and remember where they're all sitting there inside, they're drinking, you know, singing. You know, they're singing and they're showing each other their scars,
Yeah.
The segment, and then all of a sudden the shark hits them.
Uh-huh.
Well, then the very next segment shows them outside the cabin on the boat, and it's daytime,
yeah.
All right? And you watch the sky, and you'll see a UFO come in, and then it leaves, then comes back again on the other, you know, it comes in from the... if you're looking at the screen, it'd be coming in on the right side, and then it goes off.
Yeah.
And then on the left side of the screen, it comes back in again,
and goes behind the cloud and stays behind that cloud. And it's just, and you can see it just as plain as day. And when Steven Spielberg was editing, he seen that, and he's thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do, you know, with this? Because he'd put a lot of time and a lot of money into that. He wanted it done, over with. So he thought, the heck with it, I'm leaving it in.
Maybe. Yeah, who's going to notice it?
Yeah. And I didn't. But I swear I've watched that show at least 15 times, never noticed it until somebody said that.
You know, I have heard about Hollywood. I've heard about other films as a result of this and talking with people, and especially when I was in Europe, I was brought this up in a few pubs I was in. Because every now and then, this really, I'll have to admit, it burns on me. I try not to let it affect me, but it's such a mystery to me. And I brought it up to people. And, you know, these individuals brought up that, not Jaws, but other movies where, you know, there's things that showed up in the view of the camera, and they, you know, nobody knows what it is. So, and many times you just leave it, and other times you're able to edit out, unlike this, where they, of course, you just, for the budget, and to go and reshoot, or something, well, we'll leave it in. And that would be like our film. I mean, if I didn't tell people it was in there, probably nobody would ever see it. Because when the thing is blown up to screen size, it's not going to look like anything.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to see anything.
Well, this one here, with Jaws, all you can see it just as plain as can be. Yeah. It's just pretty as a picture.
Well, there you go. That's...